Today's podcast is brought to you by the Diamond XL earrings from Eden Pure's sister company, Lindenwold Fine Jewelers. You can get a pair of stunning 1-carat diamond alternative earrings for only $79. Go to DiamondXLEXCEL.com and save $120 with code word Howie Diamond. Shipping is free.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, The Spectator, and The Daily Mail.
You got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, the millennial with the mic, The Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
Good morning, besties. Thanks for tuning into the Grace Curley Show. Back again today. Apparently, it was not an absolute disaster yesterday. I'm going to be filling in for Grace today. I'm Jess Machado. I am a host of a small little tiny talk show on Saturdays down in the Bayou in Bristol County, of the Jess Machado Show on 1420 WBSM. And I'm lucky to come back a second day. Thank you, by the way, to Jared yesterday for really just carrying me the whole 3 hours.
Not at all. You did great.
Well, the verdict is still out on that. But I am very happy to be back here, feeling definitely more comfortable. The jitters are gone. I have cough drops today. Had a little coughing fit. You might not have been able to tell when I was on with Anthony Amore. If you were watching the video, disaster. But I was sick leading into last week, and I didn't really anticipate the little throat issue I was having yesterday. So disaster averted, more prepared today. Happy to be here. Lots going on, per usual, in the political arena in Massachusetts. We're gonna talk about that. The third hour today, we have Toby, right? He comes in and he's going to talk guns it's Cape Cod Gunworks? What is it?
From Cape Gunworks.
Cape Gunworks.
2A Tuesday.
2A Tuesday. So that's today, the last hour. So that's like a huge relief for me because I don't have to do much, right? Just kind of let him talk and callers call in, which I love. But for the second hour of the show today, we're going to have Holly Robichaud on. She was on this morning with Ed Lambert talking MASH GOP, Jim Jones Lions. I've tried to keep that under wraps a little bit because I don't want that to define me, but I will tell you, I'm pretty much obsessed with what's going on in the Massachusetts GOP right now. And it's leading up to a big vote that comes next Tuesday. And I think the future of the Republican Party in the state really hinges on what's going to go on next Tuesday. Who's going to be leading us to the path of victory or lawsuits or not really sure. But everything is kind of hinging on this vote next week for chairman of the Massachusetts GOP. So Holly was on Ed Lambert today. We're going to talk about that, and we're going to talk to Holly in the second hour. But I wanted to start off the show this week, today, talking about yesterday. We started this breaking story over the weekend about Catherine Clark's child getting arrested over the weekend for graffiti in the Boston Common. And, you know, the story's just been kind of out there for a day or two and stuff. And you know, the more I'm thinking about it, maybe I was just hyper-focused on the show and I wasn't really absorbing this whole story for what it really is. We were maybe talking too much about the parenting part of it because she tweeted about that. She tweeted that this was really just another up and down in the cycle of parenting, I think. And so maybe I had too much of a focus on the parenting piece of it. Today, I think we should really focus on the fact that, you know, a lawmaker has a child that is out there breaking the law. And it's not, you know, maybe I would even be okay with it being like a DUI or something like that. But this is really, you know, an act that's rooted in, you know, anti-establishment, anti-cop rhetoric. And, you know, that should worry people. That should concern people, that people that close to, you know, our lawmakers are acting in this way where it's apparently acceptable and it's okay to go and deface property, which is still, I really still can't get over. But also to assault a police officer, because we overlooked that a little bit too. He was charged with assaulting a police officer plus the graffiti. I wanted to know what's the ramifications for the graffiti portion of that. And if that were the only charge, I think you can get up to 2 years in jail, up to a $1,500 fine. You can also lose your license for a year. Although I'm sure mommy could arrange transportation for him around to his next protest. But that's an option. And then there's the other part of it, which is the assault and battery on a police officer. And, you know, I guess the conversation would be, what would happen if I hit a cop? What would happen if I was out there protesting police officers and spray painting all over the place? I certainly don't have the power behind me and my family to help me get out of something like that. Probably just get a court appointed. Just have to hope for the best. Hope it's somebody that's got an easy caseload to take on my case. You know, and I would venture to say I don't think that there's any type of background here, any other history of violence or anything yet. Probably this is all just going to get thrown out. It's going to be gone. It's not going to be that big of a deal. Power and privilege. We did talk a little bit yesterday, because, you know, Clark's name kind of rang a bell for some of us and our listeners. You remember she was arrested in the Capitol last year for some abortion protest after the Roe v. Wade thing. And after she was arrested, she was, her team or someone on their PR team had said that this was what we call good trouble. So apparently there are two types of trouble that you can get into if you're a Democrat. It's good trouble and bad trouble. And if you're getting arrested and you're spray painting and you're hitting a cop, maybe that's good trouble for Clark, for Catherine Clark and her family. So we talked about this yesterday too. This whole thing, and the reason why Riley her son or daughter or child was out protesting was because of this cop city that it's been known as down in Atlanta. There's a police officer, first responders facility that has been trying to be built for the past year and a half, 2 years. They have this space and they're trying to build it. And these protesters who are against, you know, adding any additional layers of strengthening our police departments have encamped in this space and basically taken it over and prevented them from moving forward with this under the guise of it being an environmental issue. They don't want to cut down the trees. One of the protesters there pulled a gun on a police officer, shot a police officer in the abdomen, and then they returned fire and they killed this protester. And so if you happened to catch, you know, Atlanta on fire over the weekend on your phone or on TV and the news, the reason Antifa got involved in this, as if they needed one, they never need one. It can be as far reaching as any topic whatsoever for them to ramp up their agenda. But this guy, Little Turtle, I still can't say it properly. You know, he was protesting this. He had been camped in there. Guy had a 9mm gun on him, according to the police. And pulled out a gun, shot a cop. He got killed. And so Antifa has now taken this on as their new cause. They needed one right now. And so they lit Atlanta on fire. They have their rocks, which they just conveniently always have. And destroyed, you know, parts of Atlanta. And that was so relevant to Catherine Clark's son that he had to get involved, jump in, and go spray paint the bandstand in Boston Common and say, no cop city. There's no cop city being planned here. It has nothing to do with us. But there's a cop city being planned in Atlanta, and he needed to get involved. It's good trouble. This was good trouble to get into. Coincidentally, though, Clark yesterday was at an event where they were talking about trees. It was some sort of a event about how she secured environmental efforts. And people obviously wanted to ask her about what had happened over the weekend. And she basically wanted to revert back to her original comments. She said she didn't really want to elaborate on it. But people wanted to ask her about her thoughts on police officers and cops, obviously. And she was quoted as saying that it's been my work and my position and priority that every single person in every single zip code has an assumption of safety in their communities. And that is the work that I've done. And police are a critical partner in that work going forward. It's nice and generic. It's perfect. Perfect. Nothing too specific. Of course, Riley. Is it Riley? What's the original name? Is it Jared? Yeah, Jared Riley was released on a quick $500 bail. Nothing. And we'll obviously have to face the consequences, if any, in court. It's got a nice team of attorneys. And that's it. She loves her children very dearly. This is a very difficult time in the cycle of parenting. She has full trust in the legal system, which I instantly interpreted as I have full trust in the Massachusetts legal system that my child will not face any consequences for this. A lot more to talk about. We're going to take a break. I'm Jess Machado. I'm filling in for the Grace today on the Grace Curley Show. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Grace Curley Show. Answering the hard-hitting questions of our time.
Let's say you're abducted by aliens.
Fine.
They haul you aboard the mothership, take you back to their planet as a curiosity. Now, would you rather be in their zoo or their circus?
It's the Grace Curley Show.
Oh, I was going to sing along to this one. I know we can't, but I'm into this one. Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. I'm filling in for Grace today again. I'm Jess Machado. I'm of WBSM down out of New Bedford. Today's poll question is brought to you by the Nauset Beach Inn. I had to ask Jared to make sure I was saying that right. Enjoy spring on the Cape with April rates at $179.99 a night, or schedule now to have your summer trip set with breakfast included, Memorial Day through September 20th. Book online now at nausetbeachinn.com. Our poll question today, Jared, we collaborated on this together, is...
Would you get a yearly COVID shot?
Yeah, so we're going to talk a little bit about this, although we have some breaking news that we're going to pivot over to. But the FDA has somewhat proposed this new plan to do a yearly COVID shot, just like your yearly flu vaccine. And would that make it more attractive to some people? I'm curious. Because I know that there are some people who are anti-COVID vax that still get the flu shot every year. So are you one of those people? Will you consider getting a yearly COVID flu style shot every year along with your flu shot? Or are you still, this is still not making it attractive enough for you? What about you, John?
I'm a no-go on that, along with 89% of the audience who say no, they will not get the yearly shot. 11% said they would.
I'm curious about that. Does this make it a little bit more attractive for people? Hey, it can't be that bad if it's just along the lines of the flu shot every year, right? Yeah. While we were on our break, it looks as if Vice President Mike Pence has discovered classified documents at his Indiana home. We have a caller. I believe his name is Nick. He wants to talk about that. Nick, you're live with Jess on Grace's show. Hi.
Hey, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Good to hear a new voice. Not that there's anything wrong with Grace and the crew there, but I'm glad they brought you in. Anyway, Pence, who phoned that one in? Dr. Jill, Whoopi Goldberg, someone in CNN? No. This is someone from the National, Mighty National Archives. They're the ones that conspired with the DOJ when they knew damn well what Trump had and didn't have, but they were looking at the instance that was going to leak out later on that Mr. President, Mr. Senator, Mr. Vice President were sitting on a gold mine of documents, okay? They know damn well who has what. So this is trying to mitigate what's going on. And shamefully, on the Republican end, looks like they're going with the Paul Ryan playbook. No subpoenas. So Moreland has that guy, has a woman come in. I think it was a woman. We didn't get to see most of it. We read about it. She got in a huff and walked out, okay? So this is their flaccid attempt, if you will, at doing nothing, okay? Those are the people you need to knuckle down, because guess what? Ignorance, forgetfulness, carelessness is not an option here. Negligence is the big paragraph in U.S. Code 18, right? 793, go down to Section F. If you knew about it, right? If you had them, right, and you might have forgotten, doesn't make a difference. You are out of luck if you are careless with them. And God knows he's been careless. Anybody, including the National Archive and his attorneys, who knew that and didn't tell superior people, okay, in this case with the National Archive, there'll probably have to be a federal judge, right? Who else are you going to talk to that's corrupt? So what I'm saying is, the bottom line is, it doesn't make intent in that section means nothing. It's carelessness. Actually, it's negligence. Comey changed that to protect Hilton, Hillary Clinton, because Peter Strzok told him you cannot use the word negligence because you'll get kneeled on that part of that statue. So they purposely changed it to carelessness. Okay. The other part of that statue that's the killer, if you knew someone who had that stuff. So I guess the laws obviously mean nothing, but I do not understand why the Republicans are not throwing subpoenas out there.
Yeah, I mean, listen, first of all, I just feel like I have to admit live right on air, I also have classified documents at home. Jared, I'm sorry to break the news. I mean, it's some fantastic script writing that's going on, I'll tell you that. My thing is, who doesn't at this point? Who doesn't have classified documents at their house? Who doesn't? For those of us who are just joining us, Mike Pence has discovered classified documents at his Indiana home. He informed Congress on Tuesday that he discovered the documents bearing classified markings in his Indiana home on January 16th. From when he was vice president. Obviously, I'm interested to find out what are these? What are these about? What specifically are these about? What does Mike Pence have that he needs to keep with him? This was a small number of potential classified documents found in two small boxes. At least we know these are small, two small boxes.
The qualifiers now. Small boxes, a small batch, six documents.
Two sheets of paper.
Whereas Donald Trump had basically a Gutenberg Bible's worth of documents, apparently.
These were immediately put into a safe, according to the Pence team. And then the documents were collected by the FBI at Pence's home on Thursday evening, January 19th. Pence wasn't even there. He's in Washington for the annual March of Life when the FBI collected the documents.
That's like saying my sister was, I wasn't there, but my sister put the gun in the freezer so my kids wouldn't find it. What? How is that a defense?
I'm loving, though, that there's like a third installment to the documents. Oh, yeah, I love this. Pence's team said that although the documents bear classified markings, the Department of Justice or the agency that issues the documents will need to make a final determination if they're considered classified or not. Verdict is still out. I'm Jess, I'm filling in for Grace, and we will be right back after this.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. I'm your host today, Jess Machado. So happy to be here. We've had some callers that have been waiting. I don't know what it was. Was it the talk of classified documents or your opportunity to get a COVID shot once a year now, just right along with your flu shot? Let's go to Tony. He wants to talk about the classified documents that everybody seems to have. Hey, Tony, how are you?
Hi, Jess. Thank you for taking my call. I'm very well. Thank you. Here's my ultimate question. I think you agree with me a lot. I think the other host probably would not agree with me. But ultimately, Anthony Weiner had documents on his laptop. It was full of classified stuff. Hillary Clinton had thousands of documents that she wiped out and threw away, whatever she did. Everybody now, Biden, Trump, Pence, they all got them. Ultimately, here's the big question. Who cares?
Yeah, I agree. I don't know. I mean, with there seems to be this is the new trend. This probably won't be the last, right? This is a new thing. Everybody's going to have them. You know, I guess my question is, was there really any collateral damage with the Trump thing? I mean, what was the real, it was a big deal. I remember, you know, the news is camped out in front of Mar-a-Lago and he wasn't there. And it was, you know, it was a big thing for a while, right? But now it's kind of just like everything else. It's the saturation of it in the market of politics. I don't know if it's that big of a deal. But listen, Mike Pence did the right thing. He turned those over right away. It's not like Trump. Trump held on to those. He wasn't giving them to anybody. He's holding on to those. You're not getting them. Mike, good boy, Mike. You just handed them right over. I put them in my safe. I'm not home. Just let yourselves in. Go right in and grab them. Take them back. They're not even really sure if these are classified or not. It's saying that they have markings on them that would make them or consider them potentially classified. So now we've got to determine that they look on the surface like
they identify as classified documents. What are their pronouns?
The caller has got a really great point. I mean, remember Hillary with her phones and her emails. I personally didn't subscribe to any of the stuff with the papers in Mar-a-Lago. I literally was just like, no big deal. Don't care. Let them run their course. Let everybody talk about it. Let everybody, you know, exploit it for the anti-Trump propaganda that it is. I didn't really care. I don't care about this one either. I guess I would care if I knew what the content was. I want to know, like, what exactly is considered classified? What's it about? How juicy is it? Like, is it going to make TMZ? Like, is it like that good? Or is it just boring? Like, eh. John, I know John had called in. He wanted to talk about his annual COVID shot. John, thanks for calling in.
Thank you. Yes. I'll keep this brief. I was in the Air Force, got out some 30-some years ago, where you force get all kind of shots, they line you up and jab you. And I decided, I got out in the fall, got the flu that winter, and I decided not to get the flu shot. And ever since then, for over 30 years, I have never gotten the flu. I have not gotten any flu shot, any booster. My wife and I got a mild version once. Our daughter got all of the boosters, all the COVID shots, and she got it twice. And we've been around people with the COVID, and we've not gotten it. We've gotten, like I said, a small margin of it once. You know, if you have a good immune system and you're healthy, I'm 65 plus years old, no medication, no drugs, just take vitamins and eat healthy and exercise. You know what? If you have a good immune system, and again, not to knock anybody who's got underlying conditions, the same thing with the flu shot, you've got underlying conditions, you need to take your precautions and be safe. But if you're healthy, you know, you have a strong immune system, we have fabulous bodies that our Lord created, and you know, we've got defenses that can take care of it, and these things come and go.
Yeah, I mean, and thank you for the call, John. My husband was in the Army, and when this whole thing came out, obviously, politically, my husband was suspicious of the COVID shot. But along with many of the men and women who are in our military, they're like, do you know how many vaccines and things they shoot us up with before we get out of there? I mean, so he was like, yeah, what's another one? You know, it's not that big of a deal. I mean, obviously, and I haven't talked about it, and I know listeners don't know me very well, but I've been anti-vaccine right from the beginning. I was just talking earlier in the show, I chose to spread out my children's childhood vaccines over a long period of time, just for my own personal reasons. And so, you know, I've got COVID twice, so I have natural immunity now. I'm certainly the second time I had it was not as bad as the first. And I'm immune compromised. I have lupus. So for me, I was one of those people where they said, you should be getting it. And I certainly was not going to do that. But The caller is right. You know, our bodies are certainly capable now of combating this and then retaining some immunity. I mean, I certainly look at this much differently today than what I did 3 years ago. I do not look at this the same way. And the irony is not lost on me that now today or yesterday, the FDA is now touting this proposal to make this part of, like, you know, your annual winter flu vaccine, COVID vaccine combo. It's just no big deal. It's going to be as casual as the flu vaccine. When I think about all of the businesses we lost and the jobs that were lost and the time that was lost over the fear of getting this disease that, you know, ultimately now is just going to be, you know, given a shot at the local, you know, pharmacy when you get your flu shot. Not that big of a deal. We've come so far.
I'm just wondering, my take on this one is I'm wondering how dehumanized are people who question this going to be this time? You know, that's, again, nothing about this rollout was done in good faith. You know, it was all right. Iron fist and nothing else.
Right.
Which is, again, made a lot of people, we've talked about on the show before, people tend to get suspicious about that stuff.
Yeah.
And whether it's founded or not, there's an initial reaction like, hey, whoa, 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 why are we pushing this so hard and not looking at other things? So this is another one where I'm curious about how this is going to be. Are you not going to be able to do things in society now if you don't get this one? And it's just, is it ever going to stop?
Yeah, we were talking earlier before the show started about I had tickets to go to an event and I couldn't go because I wasn't vaccinated. And that was really the first time I had actually felt the real ramifications of not getting the vaccine. I'm sure other people obviously had far worse things to deal with, like losing their jobs, for example. I wore it with a badge of honor. I still do. You know, there's people out there that are going to be unvaccinated that people are going to say, wow, you have blood that's not tainted with the vaccine. That's kind of, that's big money to go and donate blood that's not vaccinated. I consider it a badge of honor. Also, you know, it was very hard to go through that. And especially in a small community where everybody was pro-vax and school related, you know, situations, vaccines and masks. It was hard, but I loved it. I love it. No problems being the odd man out. That's for sure. Let's go to the calls. David wants to talk about Jared. And I'm down with that. Jared is an interesting topic. David,
other
you're live.
Jared, not yes. This Jared.
Yes, right. Hey, David.
Thanks. Thanks, Mr. Shadow. I just wanted to just mention real quick that I looked up one of the easiest things for DNA to determine is whether someone is a male or a female. So now, hey, this guy, he's switching from male to female. Bottom line is, he's a 23-year-old adult person. He's not a child. They talk about like he's a 15-year-old. Okay, he's 23 years old. He attacked a Boston cop and bloodied him. I don't know if that Boston cop had a broken tooth or a broken nose, but it could cost $10,000 to fix a tooth. Mm. He assaulted a police officer and there were 20 others there, part of the Antifa group all across the country that are rioting that all across the country. So Antifa has to be declared a terrorist organization. And now his dad is on the board of overseers here in Massachusetts. His mom's a congresswoman. So his dad is going to be overseeing the prosecutors that are going to be potentially prosecuting. So they're in fear. All lawyers are in fear of the board of overseers. So talk about so here's this kid attacking an officer of the law who's enforcing the law that his dad is supposed to be enforcing the laws over attorneys, and he's attacking cops. Their kid is part of a terrorist organization. I mean, what the hell is going on? It's crazy. Boston has a problem with cops now. There are 400 cops or more short, and this clown, a 23-year-old male, attacks a Boston cop and is creating an atmosphere with Antifa, creating an atmosphere of disrespect for police officers all across the country, and especially Boston. Something's got to be done. This woman should be, something's got to be done. Because he's under the protection of his mom's a congressman and his dad's overseers. There's got to be some kind of separation there because this is so corrupt. This is so bad. That kid should be in jail. He's part of a terrorist organization. He assaulted a police officer. They got to create an atmosphere of respect for police officers.
Well, I agree with you, David, but I wouldn't hold your breath. I mean, I think the odds here are that nothing is really going to come out of this. I think it's going to be a slap in the wrist. And that's it. And, you know, your parents are politically, you know, behind the scenes or not so behind. I mean, his mom's a congresswoman. It's not going to happen. I say we just turn it in right now. Nothing's going to happen. It'll be great to watch. And again, we're probably going to have to dig it up. Nobody's going to be talking about this in a couple of weeks. It's just the way that it's going to be. And you know, Boston, they do have an issue. Although I was just reading that they may be bringing back police officers to Boston public schools. I guess because, you know, it's been a while and they need them there. Who would have thought? Who would have thought that you need cops in Boston schools to help out with all of the fights and things that are going on over there? The pendulum's going to swing to the other side. You take all the cops out of the schools, things are going to go crazy. Now you're going to need to bring them all back in. And they're going to have to change their mentality quickly because kids are getting hurt. I don't think anything's going to come out of this. I think it's going to be a slap in the wrist, especially first time offender. I don't know how it works, but I can tell you of all of those charges, you know, some of them are going to get dropped and thrown out. There'll be one there. I will tell you, tagging, by the way, is a felony. So it's not just a little misdemeanor. It is a felony. I just don't see it sticking. And again, I'm wondering what the kitchen table conversation looks like in that household. They're super proud of him. Not so proud of him. Did they plan it out? Is this good timing? Where does he live? Does he live with them? Like, I'm wondering, like, did she see him getting dressed in the morning to leave for the day with his like camo and his backpack and stuff like that? Boston PD actually had a body camera on for the event. So I'm very curious to see if that footage ends up making its way out to the public. I'd like to see really what that looked like. But I'm more curious to see, you know, how long she can say nothing about this and let it all just kind of fall under the umbrella of her anti-cop ideas and all that fun stuff. I think we have to take a break. Yeah, let's do that. We're going to take a break. I'm Jess. I'm filling in for Grace, and we'll be right back after this.
Grace Curley. She's working for you.
I'm like Bette Midler in For the Boys. Got to keep the troops entertained.
Let's go. Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. I'm Jess Machado. That's my go-to karaoke song, by the way, in case you didn't know. You picked up on that. You know what I was just thinking? Mike Pence is probably like trying to stay relevant. He's like, hey, I've got docs too, you guys. Like it's not like they were at his house looking around. He was like, you know what? Maybe I should look around and see if I've got some classified documents at home.
It's like when somebody leaks something to the press to get themselves back in the spotlight. You know?
I'm going to be at Whole Foods tomorrow at 2 p.m. if you want to just go by and take a picture of me. You know, the other thing, too, I'm thinking about is, do people not know like what's considered classified and what's not? How are all of these papers just making their way out of the White House or are these offices? I think maybe they need to have some sort of a class where they go over what's classified and what's not. Or maybe just not actually use papers. Just make everything digital. Which makes me wonder if there's papers like this, like is there access to like digital classified documents? Is there an iPad sitting around at Mike Pence's house that he can just click on and look at things? But the papers, it just makes it feel like, you know, people are just putting papers in their, you know, their briefcases and just walking out the door. What? Or maybe they just don't know that they're classified. It made me think of the Jim Jones Lions tour of doom that he's going on. And when he goes to these events to try to talk to everybody about all of the adversity that he has faced over the past couple of years, he's just got stacks of papers and it's all disorganized and he's rummaging around and he's like, oh, I've got one right here. Why are we using paper? Why not just phones, iPads, computers, laptops? So you can just throw them in the river if you need to. There's no evidence of these papers anywhere. I don't know. I guess maybe they just don't know what's classified and what's not. And by the way, why do they have them? Give them to somebody else. Just don't you have a staffer that you can be like, hey, could you do me a favor? Can you just take these home for me so that they don't have them? I suspect this is going to be a new trend. Well, we got to figure out, we got to get back in the news. Let's say I have some docs at home. Find them in your boyfriend's house or your ex-wife's house. I've already got it. There's going to be a divorce. An ex-wife is cleaning out and she found documents. And that's how it's going to come out the next one. I don't know who it's going to be. During hour two today, we're going to talk a little bit about mass GOP. That's more in my wheelhouse. I need to brush up on the national politics, but I'm so deep in the local stuff. By the way, if you're in New Bedford, Ward 3 is having an election today. There's a special election for a city council seat over there. Jacob Ventura is my guy. He's the only Republican, I believe, that's running for that seat. You would think if there were any Republicans in the state that were out on tour and they were gathering people around, it would be to drum up some support or financial support for this kid who's running for a nice little seat in the city of New Bedford. But I haven't seen that. But a shout out to Jacob Ventura. He's got a big day ahead of him today. I'm wishing him a lot of luck. I know there's some really great people helping him out, but you know, that's a Republican. There's no other elections going on right now. Election season's over. This is a special election. Every Republican in the area should be down there knocking on doors and holding signs for that guy. I heard the Jim Jones tour got canceled last night because of the snowstorm. They should have just said, you know what, we're not going to do this, but if you guys could go out in New Bedford tomorrow and hold signs for Jacob Ventura, he's a Republican, he could use your help, that would be great. You might be able to win some votes next Tuesday if you actually drum up support for a Republican that has a shot of winning. So best of luck to Jacob in New Bedford. I know that there's a lot of candidates running, nine, I think, or seven or nine. So, but there's a primary today, and we'll see where the Republican falls. Hopefully he makes it past today, and then we get a chance of getting it'll be one Republican that'll get elected. Word is still out on Lenny Mira's race. Still no word on whether or not he's going to retain his seat. He's our last hope for Republicans in the state. And then I want to continue that conversation about the COVID boosters and whether or not people are interested. I was just looking, a friend of mine is listening and she's like, you know what? Maybe I will get the COVID shot when I go and get my flu shot. So maybe it's more attractive. The packaging of it all sounds a little bit easier and better, softer on the eyes if you get it with your flu shot. We're going to take a break. I'm Jess Machado. I'm filling in for Grace, and we'll be right back after this.